100-word stories.
That's right. It's the 100-word stories podcast at oneadayuntilthedayidie.com. I got to tell you, it's a weekly challenge kind of day. So let's do the weekly challenge. How's them apples? Actually, I have a Honeycrisp apple in the fridge. I might eat that a little later. But it's Saturday night. I'm getting as much of this prepped in advance so that tomorrow I can just slap on the Johnny Come Latelys and boom, we're ready. And then I can go on my whimsical, magical adventure to Phoenix. Is it 150 degrees there yet? Are you in Phoenix? Do you know how bad it's going to be? I can just stay in the hotel. Everything's in the hotel. The conference? Hotel. I don't know. But anyway, you came here for stories, not me complaining or rambling, but you're going to get both. The topic this week was Monster. So, yeah, I know Cliff, Uncle Monster. He's going to get all excited. I wonder if he's back. I guess we'll find out. Maybe this lured him back. Like garlic for vampires. Or no, wait, they're afraid of it. How about I just... Let's go with the first story. John Musico, are you ready? Have you got the garlic ready? Okay, good. Here's John Musico.
Ricky by John Musico. A teratoma is normal body tissue, but growing in the wrong place. Jim had one growing on his belly for many years. He lived in an isolated region. It grew to the size of a cat, burst through his skin, and crawled out. Because it was so developed, the monster survived. Jim named it Ricky. Jim would walk Ricky on a leash. Soon he was the size of a young boy and looking more and more like Jim, but overtly disfigured. One day, the mailman spotted them walking. Officials came and carried Ricky off. Jim never saw little Ricky again.
Thank you, Mr. Musico. And nice touch there on the Moonlight Sonata. That's always a good go-to, I think. Okay, let's keep going with Jeffrey. We're just going to plow ahead, have this thing in the can before I go to sleep, wake up. I've got the boarding pass on my phone, which means they're going to do horrible things to me with the x-ray machine. You just know it. It's how it happens. But we get a limo to the airport. Maybe they'll do horrible things to me in that. All right, so here's Jeffrey.
Good morning, afternoon, or evening, as the case may be. It's Jeffrey Fisher, and I'm going to try to record some stories here. It's already been an adventuresome morning. I had a small run-in with a member of the local constabulary. They closed off a street to car traffic. And it turns out they wanted to close it off to pedestrian traffic, too, as I was trying to get coffee. They were perfectly okay to have the newspaper guy standing on the corner. They were okay to have the homeless guy sitting in a chair outside the coffee shop. They seemed to be okay to have some woman inside the coffee shop purchasing coffee and then coming out onto the street and going someplace. But, bizarrely, I couldn't go from where the newspaper guy was standing to where the homeless guy was sitting. Somehow that was not kosher. At any rate, I've got a trio of stories for week 421 on the topic of Monster. My first story is called Take Me Out to the Ball Game. When Fenway Park added seats on top of the Green Monster, Bryce knew he had to see a game from there. He wrangled a single ticket, one of 269. It was in the very last row, but he didn't care. Somewhere, over 300 feet in front of him and more than 50 feet down, were actual Major League Baseball players. The sharp crack of a bat roused him from his three-beer stupor. David Ortiz had hit a towering home run. Bryce jumped out of his seat, realizing the ball was coming right at him. He stretched his arm up as far as it would go, then reached back, then still further back. As Bryce fell to his death, he watched Ortiz's ball sail over his head. My second story is called TLC. He was jovial when sober, but a mean drunk. When he ran out of energy to beat her, he started in on the verbal abuse. He refused to get a job, taking money from her purse whenever he wanted to. She felt oddly powerless to leave him. He knew this and took advantage of it. He didn't look particularly monstrous now, lying in a coma in a hospital bed, hooked up to various tubes and monitors. Falling down the stairs left him in this limbo between life and death. Whatever life remained depended on an artificial lung, and she watched his chest move rhythmically up and down. It was the work of a moment to switch off the monitors and remove the breathing tube. And my last story is called In-Flight Service. "That'll be $5, please." The flight attendant placed a miniature of Jack Daniels and an ice-filled cup on the tray. Three rows ahead, two beefy 20-somethings were playing a violent video game, headbutting and shrieking at the pixelated action. As he fumbled for a credit card, he asked, "Tell me, ma'am, how much are those Monster energy drinks?"
$3.
"Isn't that a little backward?"
"How so, sir?"
"Well, for $5, you get a mellowed-out passenger who's grateful to you for bringing him a relaxing beverage. For $3, you get an amped-up wild man who disturbs everyone. Maybe the airline should think about reversing those prices." And that's it for me this week. I'll be back next week.
You know what? I think I'll bring that up with United tomorrow and be very firm about my position. Thank you for suggesting that, Jeffrey. Actually, I'm going to wind up just drinking milk. I wonder if they have that. Have a cow there up in front. You know, okay, so the standard coach had a description up on the website at United. I need to post this. It said freshly brewed coffee. And then moving up to Elite Plus, or Coach Plus, or whatever it is, freshly brewed coffee. But when you go to first class, it just says coffee. As if, you know, hey, we brewed it, we slopped the hogs back there, you get the rest. Yeah, whatever. You should be drinking champagne up here, asshole. With your big seats. Anyway, oh. What? Okay, I'm gonna, let's move on to Richard. Okay, before I say something really dumb that gets me on a no-fly list.
Morning, everyone. It's Muncie here, and here's my monster stories. First one is part 57 of George's story. "No," said George, surprising himself in the process. "I refuse to stay here and accept my fate without a fight." He pushed his way past the bulk of Rasputin and made his way to Emily, who was drinking tea, surrounded by grey-haired companions. "Emily, we're leaving." She looked at him in surprise. "You can leave. I'm staying." "For heaven's sake, George, you don't know what's out there." Shocked at her response, but resolute, George shook his head, muttered goodbye, and walked to the door. "Hey, little guy," shouted Rasputin as he left the church. "Watch out for the monster." My next story is called The Voices in My Head. As I await my fate these long years on death row, I've had plenty of time to ask myself where I went wrong. During these long, lonely hours in my cell, crosswords and puzzle books have been my companions, and they've helped me conquer my dyslexia too. And with that triumph came the horrifying knowledge of understanding my error. Funny how the ability to read words as they really are can fundamentally change things. You see, now I realize that the voices in my head were not the mentors I thought they were. In fact, they were really a monster. And this week's final story is called The Monster Carrot. For years, the rabbit scientists toiled using all their knowledge and insight to produce the perfect carrot. The size of a small car, the carrot was a monster of the vegetable world. Birds nested in its leafy top, and the woodland animals from miles around came to admire the incredible marvel of genetic engineering. The rabbits guarded their prize jealously, waiting anxiously for the day of the great feast. But then disaster struck. The Root Vegetable Protection Society slapped a preservation order on it and declared it a tourist attraction to be preserved in perpetuity as a World Heritage Site. And that's all for this week. I shall speak to you all again next week. Goodbye.
And we look forward to that, Richard. It's always a pleasure having you here. It really is. Absolutely. It's a pleasure having all of you here. Each and every one. Especially Lizzie. She's coming up next. Isn't that cool? She got to hear my rambling and whatever this week again. So, yeah, I do that. I thought about taking a break this week, but nope, show must go on. Well, actually, it says sharing with friends, really. Isn't that what matters? Let's have Lizzie share with you, all of us, friends together.
As she walked across the long corridor, she could hear a hasty clock ticking, reverberating. The old brittle wallpaper covering the walls reminded her of her childhood. There were trees and flowers and elephants and dolls and all sorts of things. The clock whispered in her ear, "Step up," and she matched her steps with the ticking of the clock. The elephants lined up, the trees and the flowers too, a welcoming committee in the making. "Isn't this wallpaper nice?" she asked the man in white. He nodded. There was no wallpaper, only the whiteness of 100 aseptic walls. This was my story for this week. Drop by my blog at lizziegoodcough.blogspot.com, and I'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Lizzie. Oh my God, these Andes mints. I'm so addicted to them. I love Andes mints and York peppermint patties. I love everything mint. Well, except for Mentos. Those are gross. Good stuff. So, all right. I just wash this down with rum and coke. Oh, Lord. Yeah, the caffeine's gonna get me. So, Okay, so we got a new participant in the weekly challenge here. His name is Keith. Hopefully he introduces himself in the sound file he had sent it in. I was like, where's the sound file? And it's like, oh, if... takes a few times for people to get used to it. All of us were new to this once. Except for me. I've been doing this for all eternity. Feels like it. Wow, we're coming up on the anniversary of the podcast, too. The 31st. Wow. Not the 31st anniversary, but on May 31st. Wow. And Miss is turning 5 years old soon. She was born on Memorial Day almost 5 years ago. And I saw a kitty cat walking the fence. Looked just like Bruin, big wide nose, same face, same attitude. Well, except he still had his balls. So definitely not Bruin. Bruin's dead. But anyway, a man can dream, can he? You know? Whatever. So here's Keith, and welcome to the show.
The Monster's Head. The kitchen beat with a heart hardened with cigarette smoke, the pallor of its face tired by a soda and liquor river coursing through its veins. It had one beady eye, a small window over the room's shallow-mouthed sink, shedding little light through an eyelid of thin blinds over a tight space 12 by 14 feet in size. Insufferable suffering was the slop served up here. The oven, icebox, and few cabinets ran on two sides of the room's deceitful face, painted with the print of faded flowers. This, the monster's head, sat central on the shoulders of the house.
Oh, man! I like that, Keith. Thank you, and welcome to the podcast, And now I'm regretting not saving up Monster for Halloween time. Maybe we'll just replay this. No, I never replay anything. Although you can replay stories easily by going to the archives at oneadayuntilthedayidie.com or tap someone on the shoulder and say, "Play me those old stories, Mommy." Don't tap a cop on the shoulder.
Oh, man. Whoa.
Those Andes mints will get you. You know what else will get you? Oh, my God. No, this can't be. Is this for real? Guy David has returned? Oh, my. Oh, well, let's do it like, you know, oh, my. It's Guy David. Where have you been? Welcome back. My God. It's Guy David. I've missed you. Welcome back. Welcome home. Folks, I don't know what to say, but here's Guy David.
Paperwork. Buried under paperwork we hug, naked, cold and afraid. The paperwork monster bears its teeth, gloating. It laughs. We fight back, my brave lover and I, but soon we will be buried, alive. The paperwork monster is like a surgeon, precise, surgical. It removes from reality, from memory, from one another. It doesn't kill us. It needs us alive as a reference point in some unknown statistic. Another couple of people who disappeared, separated, then forgotten. Somewhere there is a clerk sitting behind a desk, putting a stamp here, another there. The phone reads, "Request denied. Illegal alien deported."
Thank you, Guy David. What? He has another story? Oh, okay. Here's Guy David. Again. This is great. He's back, and he's doing lots of stories. I love it.
Drippy-drabba-drops. 100 word stories by Guy David. DDDD.AM.
Ortodocile. There was a sound, unlike thunder, but somehow resembling. Something was approaching very fast, something big. I knew there was a dead end ahead, and I couldn't turn back. In the minimal lights, I could barely make up the walls, tunnels, and watery floor. I concentrated. Being a being of light, I glowed, painting the tunnels in green and yellow. There it was, a huge ortodocile, all teeth, horns, and thick hides. I quickly integrated myself into the water, leaving substance behind, becoming pure light. The ortodocile passed me, reached the dead end, and turned back. Problem averted, for now.
Thank you, Guy what? He has a third story? Well, just... You're going to have to pick me up off the floor, because I'm going to faint. He's been gone all this time, and he comes back with a vengeance! A vengeance against... non-storytelling! Here's Guy David. Again.
dripping dribble drops. 100 word stories by Guy Devin. DDDD.AM.
Conviction in Green.
There was never any doubt. Conviction. It's a strange thing. You end up confusing what is real with what you believe to be real. That's why I'm convinced the little green creature under my bed is real, you see. I know you don't believe me. No one else does. It's okay. You don't have to believe me. See for yourself. Just don't say I didn't warn you when they find you tomorrow mutilated, deformed, and half dead. I have to feed it, you know. If I don't, it would turn on me. We can't let that happen, can we?
Thank you. Wait. No, he just had three stories. Thank you, Guy David. And welcome back. Will you be staying? Would you like your usual room? We have plenty of towels and those little shampoos and soaps that you wandered off with when you left. And the bed and the lamp. And you took the TV. And you took the air conditioning unit. We don't know how you managed it. Well, never mind. We're glad you're back. And thank you. We've missed you. Now, I will say that we've missed you to you if you leave and then come back after a while. But don't use that to play on my heart, people. Stay. Stay with us. Like Tora Brescianu has stayed with us. Tora, don't ever leave me. Don't ever leave me again.
I've built an artificial superintelligence. It's on an isolated laptop right now, but I daren't let it out. I designed its ethical system mathematically and proved it safe. Skynet and iRobot are just stupid Hollywood movie cliches. But it still wants to torture me forever, because I didn't create it as soon as I might have. I've even proved now that this is mathematically inevitable. The more benevolent it is, the worse it must punish its creators for not creating it sooner. The sleep of reason brings forth monsters, but the worst ones are created by reason itself.
Let's just stamp out that reason, shall we? Stamp, stamp, stamp. Or stomp, stomp. I stamp, stomp. I don't use stamp and stomp all that much. In my writing, I use timestamp. And it's one word. Probably should be two. Oh well, we can fix that with regex. Thank you very much, Tora. We will stamp out reason together. So, alright, so am I it's not much of a shameless plug on my part, but Christian Ellis announced that Space KC2 is going to premiere on the 20th, which I think is Tuesday. So, if you remember Space KC1, I may have had a little bit of a part in that. Well, in Space KC2, I only have two lines. But they're good, and I put my best effort into them. She still didn't give me more, but anyway, the premiere is going to be on Tuesday, so be sure to tune in to spacekc.com. ChristianaAllis.com, something like that. Just look around. Every podcaster is going to be kissing her butt. So, me included. That's okay. She's got a pretty big butt. There's room for all of us. I've seen photos from Balticon. One of these days I'll go there. My God, I did go there. What? Oh, serendipity. Save me from myself, please. I'm never going to be in Space KC3, am I?
Mm-hmm. like most youngsters, there was a monster under my bed. He was a particularly ugly thing. All teeth, talons, and rank leathery skin. With an insatiable appetite for young children. His blood-red eyes, glowing in the dark recesses beneath the bed frame, where he lurked, amongst the boxes and discarded toys. Every night, I'd lie awake, thinking about him lurking in that dark and forbidding place. Mere inches from my flesh. Just waiting for the bedside lamp to be extinguished, and the darkness of the night. But he never bothered me. The poor thing was absolutely terrified of me.
Why would the monster be... Oh my God! There's a picture of you. I cannot unsee that. Okay, new rule, no more pictures of people with the... thank you, Serendipity. Maybe this is a picture of someone else, I don't know. Probably photoshopped. Although,
this is scary, I'm going to cry.
No, I'm not going to cry. Instead, I'm going to be the best Muncie I can, but there's just no stacking up compared to the real Muncie. Lo and behold, the real Muncie, right here on our show. No, not the Drabblecast. No, we actually have. We have more Drabbles than the Drabblecast, but they have... Well, I'm not going to say they have really good ones every week. We have good ones every week. It's called the Weekly Challenge. You're the ones who supply them. It's during the week, the Monday and the Tuesday and the... That stuff when I post... Well, that's what happens when you write one a day and you don't really... quality control. But still, here's Muncie.
Greetings, Muncie. Muncie here with another story that hopefully you can use. After all, it's like they say, Muncie don't get everything, it's true. But what I don't get, I can't use. 'Cause I'm Muncie, that's what I want. 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 What I want. Speaking of wanting things, Appetites by Christopher Monroe. I wouldn't call myself a monster. Merely a man occasionally made slave by his appetites. The sort of man who'd never deny his desire for wine, for song, for celebration. His appetite for every one of life's pleasures. Those things that make living worthwhile. His appetite for joy, unquenchable. Of appetites unbound. And yes, occasionally the appetite for human flesh. Ideally the flesh of children, but in a pinch, any warm human will do. Yes, that's the kind of man I am. But not a monster, no. I'd never call myself a monster. But then, I suppose no monster would. Broken Escalator, ChristopherMonroe.blogspot.com, and tweets at Munzee Munzee. That's my thing, Munzee. I hope you've dug it half as much as I have. Because I'm selfish that way, and I'm glad to think I might have dug it twice as much as you.
Yes, but would a Munzee call himself a Munzee? No, wait, he would, because you're Munzee, and you call yourself... I'm so confused. What was the topic this week? Oh, monster. Right. Thank you, Muncie. I am so losing it. This is why I should not do these in advance on Saturday night. Saturday night! How about I just pass this to Chelsea?
Monster by Chelsea. When you're a kid, the monsters are easy to identify. And there is always someone big and strong to let you know that you are safe and sound. When you grow up, it's not so easy. The monsters no longer hide under the bed or in the closet, and Mom and Dad are not there to let you know it's going to be all right. We have to take it into our own hands, protect ourselves from the monsters. Sometimes we succeed, and sometimes we don't. It's just nice when there's someone there to tell you that it's going to be all right.
I'll tell you that it will be all right, Chelsea. It's going to be all right. Chill out. You see, isn't that comforting? Thank you, Chelsea. Gonna be all right. You know who will tell you it will be all right? Zachman. Zachman is all right. Zachman is all right tonight. Everything will be all right tonight. I love that duet with David Bowie and Tina Turner. It is so beautiful. I may just play that.
They poison our homes and our food supply, even tricking our people into bringing the poisons into our pantries. They try to flood out our homes or even fill our cities with molten metals. You think they would appreciate all the cleaning up and soil improvement we do, said the ant rep. They crush us and poison us with salt and iron. Some even send their winged pets after us, said Snail. Yes, we must find a way to deal with the humans and their poisons, their traps and cats, said the rodent representative. Let's kill them and eat them.
Yes, let us kill them and eat them. Great idea, Zach Mann. Thank you for that. And we shall do that. No, I already ate. I had a pizza. I went to the store to get yogurt and I got pizza. There is something really wrong with me. I'll tell you who would, if he went to the store to get yogurt, he would get yogurt. And that's Dionysus Close. This man, you can trust. We've come to trust him over the past few weeks. He can be relied on. And so we shall. So say we all. Dionysus Close, this is your moment. It Close, right? Not Chloe's, or... I always pronounce things wrong.
Hi, this is Dionysus Close with a couple of stories about monsters. The first one is called Hiding Under the Bed. Sissy and Boggs ran and leaped the final few feet into bed. Dad only laughed as he admonished them, "You'll hurt yourselves." "The monster!" they screamed as they pulled the covers up. Dad settled down on the edge, making sure they were safely tucked in. "You know there's no monster," he laughed, "except the tickle monster!" Their screams of pleasure were sharp teeth and claws ripping into me as I crouched, powerless. His legs were right there. I should grab them and pull him under. Instead, I sank back into the darkness, ravenous shame consuming me that I could not kill. The second story is called Birds, the sequel. They say there was a time when the sky was mostly clear, but we don't remember. When it was safe to go outside, look up, and breathe. They say a bird once sounded sweet, an unexpected moment of melody. God was a bird, they say, and we flew up to meet him in the sky. Now it's droppings, bird shit, droppings, feces to foul, crap, droppings, 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 guano, droppings, 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 avian waste, the excrement express, feather-flown fertilizer, poop from the sky, droppings, 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 and we stay inside. We're pale from droppings, we're tired of droppings. God, no more droppings!
Thank you, Dionysus. So, alright, so Tom, it looks like he sent his stories in for 420 again. So I just sent him a note. Hopefully he'll get the 421 stories in tonight or tomorrow morning. I'm leaving myself a little time to package stuff and then post it up. And I've got the alarm, my alarm and my phone alarm and all that ready. If he doesn't get it in, we'll get that posted up on its own some, during the week. Because I'm going to have Wi-Fi. The hotel is going to have crappy Wi-Fi. So, although I can tether through my phone and it'll be like, Zoom! 4G LTE super fast! You need no hotels. You can go homeless and have better Wi-Fi, which I don't want to do. I like fresh towels. You know who else likes fresh towels? Danny!
Dun-da-da-dum! Hey, it's Danny Dwyer here, and yeah, that sounded kind of lame. You know, I'm kind of feeling insecure lately. You know, all the other entries on the weekly challenge, they have all this great music and stuff and sound effects. And, you know, I got this crappy MP3 player that doesn't even make MP3 files. It makes WAV files. And crap always just somehow manages to work with it and fit it in the show, and I'm grateful. But I'm rambling. But let's get on with, my stories. And I'm actually writing additional stories, so come visit me at dannydwyer.wordpress.com and see some of the entries that are not entries. They're just stories that I made up, and I'm putting it on my page. And enjoy. But for this week, we got Weekly Challenge 421 Monster. And this is my entry that I call Antique Monster Roadshow. Here we go. Rudolph, the orange hairy monster from the infamous Bugs Bunny cartoon Hair-Raising Hair, decided to make a guest appearance on PBS's Antique Roadshow to see what he, she, or it was worth. Rudolph sat down with his appraiser, a woman named Sheila, who immediately commented, "My stars! Where did you ever get that awful hairdo? It doesn't become you at all. Oh, for goodness sakes, you really need to fix it up. Otherwise, what an interesting monster. The girls at home would be impressed." Rudolph, not impressed with Sheila's appraisal, handed over the spider goulash he specially made for her anyway. And that's my entry for this week. And if you want to read it, make comments, or maybe just hurl swears at me, come visit me at dannydwyer.wordpress.com. I'm actually going to add, animations soon, or I don't know, whatever stuff you can add to a WordPress page. I'll dress it up somehow. Have fun!
Thank you, Danny, although Audacity just imports them. Nothing fancy. It's a Macintosh. It just works. And, you know, dun-dun-dun-dun, you see me, including any music? No, I'm too lazy this week. I'm doing all in Audacity. Actually, I don't want to save it as a project in GarageBand and have it blow up. I don't trust GarageBand yet. I'll get comfortable with it maybe in a few years. You know who else is... Whoa! Cliff, Uncle Monster, he is back! Well, there you go. I missed you. See? I missed him, too. Although he wasn't gone as long as Guy David. But, dude, welcome back. I guess Monster brought you out. Now, maybe I need to have a topic of Ellison. Or Rael. Or Caleb. Or something. Martini. I don't know. Oh, well, here we go. I'm going to do... Here comes Cliff.
I thought I'd gotten away, but the cultists found me in Iowa. Who looks for someone in Iowa, for Pete's sake? Anyway, I was just leaving a little diner when strong hands grabbed me and threw me into a waiting van. Then they opened the door and threw me inside the van. Morons. Okay, I know you guys are pissed that I ran out with the church's money, but we can work this out. Turns out, they didn't care about the money. They'd merged with another cult, one with plenty of money. One that worshipped something called Cthulhu. Well, crap.
Thank you, Cliff. It's good to have you back. Oh, or are you back? I don't know. Man. Mist did not want me to sleep last night. Little pokey-nosed, bitey-handy kitty. Ah, what a mean baby panther. She always gets that way. Okay, right. Still waiting on Tom, so... we got one from Norval Joe. We'll see how he's doing, how he's holding up. I hear things are getting better here. So, Norval Joe, come on aboard.
Hello, this is Philip Norval Joe Carroll of NorvalJoe.com, and this is my entry for the weekly challenge number 421 with a prompt of Monster. This story is inspired by my Galactic Battle Base novel that I'm working on right now. So here's my story. Celia dug under her mattress until she felt cold steel at her fingertips. She collapsed to her knees and unfolded the knife. Dragging its razor edge along the inside of her left arm, she added another line to the hash mark scars between elbow and shoulder. She held it there, blood oozing down the blade to further darken the patina on the antique bone handle. Nicholas was dead, and she couldn't find any tears. Was she the monster? Or was it the numbness wrapped around her until only pain and blood could push it back enough to feel alive again? Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
Thank you, Norval Joe. Did anyone mention Monster Energy Drink yet? No? Oh, good. I, not that they're a sponsor. I don't think we... They aren't, I think. I don't know. I can't stand energy drinks. They don't really give you energy. They give you nervous, and they give you strange allergic reactions. I mean, what the hell is taurine? I hear it's good for cats. I don't know. I'm just beat. How about I just throw things to Planet Z, and then if anybody's late, we'll get the bump up on the feed after I land in Phoenix, and we'll be fine. I'm sure the hotel Wi-Fi will be just smooth as silk, fast as heck. It'll be the best experience ever. Has anyone ever said the hotel Wi-Fi was great? Ever? Ever? Probably someone who lives out in the boondocks on dial-up. Hey, this is great! It's almost twice as fast! So. Alright, here's Planet Z.
There's a monster on the wing of this plane. And there's an air marshal in it with me. We can talk to the pilot. He says, follow me. I do, only to be drugged and handcuffed. You won't remember a thing, he says. And the next thing I know, I'm back in my seat. And we're landing in Chicago. I pull my briefcase from under the seat, grab my roll-on from the overhead bin, and head to the office. How well did the field tests of the hybrid mid-flight mechanic work? Asks the director. Mechanic? I don't remember a thing.
Word stories. And that's it for the 100 word stories weekly challenge number 421, Monster, which probably should have come up in Halloween. I know, timing. I hope you all enjoyed it this week. It's all over at oneadayuntilthedayidie.com with all the archives and the show notes and text of the stories. How's that? You can leave a comment, let folks know how much you enjoyed it or not. You know, a little critical advice, a little helpful advice, constructive criticism. What kind of bullshit word is constructive criticism? Anyway, thank you all for listening, being a part of the weekly challenge. The next topic is watch. So watch this space. And if you're running a little late this week, go ahead and send the story in late, and I'll get it up on the feed. Until then, as always, keep it brief.